is Friday, March 2nd, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, at least six extremists are killed in attacks on French facilities in Burkina Faso.
Both attacks took place in two places, the military headquarters and then the French embassy.
Chinese officials prepare for the annual political meeting, and the nominations for this year's Academy of Country Music Awards are announced. It's all ahead. An aide to French Foreign Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian said the situation is under control at France's embassy and cultural center in Burkina Faso after attacks on French interests in the African nation's capital, Ouagadougou. French President Emmanuel Macron's office says he's following the situation, and France was urging its nationals to avoid the city center. The U.S. embassy also warned Americans to stay out of the center of the city. I spoke with Bagasi Koura of VOA's French to Africa service concerning what is known about the attack.
Yeah, it was downtown Ouagadougou. Both attacks took place in two places, the military headquarters and then the French embassy, which are like half mile apart in downtown, around 10 o'clock in the morning. So it was a busy time. And so you have four assailants who went to the French embassy, tried to penetrate, where security forces confronted them and called for support. And French troops who are based outside of the capital flew in with two helicopters. And French special forces who were nearby, half a mile away at the airport, also intervened, and they were able to kill those assailants at the embassy. Meantime, at least two, went to the military headquarters with a car bomb, which exploded and killed seven soldiers. Seven soldiers have been killed, and we have right now 70 people being taken care of because they have been wounded in these two attacks.
Is it known why the French were targeted for this?
Yeah, because France is the main partner of the Sahel country, the main partner of Burkina Faso in the fight against insurgency. France is the one pushing to put in place the G5 Sahel forces, which is composed by the five countries, Chad, Mauritania, Niger, Burkina Faso and Mali, to help put a coalition together and fight terrorism. And French is the backbone. French also have an operation in Mali, which is called Barkhane, that has been intervening. Even last week, they had a huge operation where they say they killed alleged militants.
Has there been any claim of responsibility for this attack?
No, not yet. One thing happened this morning, because since the military base was attacked, it's a country that has, in the past, more than 10, close to 10 coup d'etat, and people started thinking, maybe there is a coup, since we have also this week, on Tuesday, the trial of the 2015 coup leaders, and people thought maybe they had some support and they are trying to overthrow the government, so that trial never took place. And then the minister came out and said, well, if French have been attacked, we think it's not a coup, it's probably a terror attack.
Bagasi Koura, VOA's French to Africa service. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's trending?
Well, what a week. It seems like every day has been a week's worth of news, and much of it not good. So I thought, let's end the week taking a look at something that people do love talking about. It's occupying a lot of bandwidth on social media, and that is this Sunday's Academy Awards, the so-called Oscars. Hashtag Oscars is trending big, and there's a lot that people are talking about. I mean, there's the standard kind of, who people think should win this and that. And it's unlike other years, I think, there's no real clear sort of winners or monster movies that came out. So people's opinions are sort of scattered all over the place. Fun to read that. A number of actors or Hollywood types are tweeting out their support to others. Here's Hugh Jackman tweeting out. He posted a little video wishing luck to some of his colleagues who have been nominated. He, of course, also In addition to being an actor and a singer, he hosted the Oscars maybe about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, put on a big show. Jimmy Kimmel, lots of people talking about what Jimmy Kimmel might do. He's hosting this year. And, of course, involved in all of the Oscars talk, this year, has been the entire Me Too movement, or Time's Up. You see these two hashtags. Jimmy Kimmel has already said that he will be addressing that. He will also be addressing Mr. Trump. He has some barbed jokes about the president. There will be apparently some kind of event or moment during the Oscars acknowledging the entire Me Too movement. Lots of people also under the hashtag Oscars talking about apparently the an artist who calls himself Plastic Jesus has unveiled on Hollywood Boulevard a new statue. And it's a golden Harvey Weinstein sitting on a golden couch with a kind of pink loose-fitting kind of robe around him and whatnot and all in all his glory. And he's Plastic Jesus called this casting couch. And so they're probably going to try and keep that up until maybe police come and remove it. But lots of people tweeting about that. And of course, a lot of people just talking about, you know, I don't know if you remember last year, but right at the sort of culmination of the moment, the Best Picture Award?
It was, yeah.
It was. And Warren Beatty. And, oh my gosh, I forget her name.
Faye Dunaway.
How could I forget? Announced the wrong winner. Huge screw up. So lots of people kind of talking about, you know what, that actually was sort of fun. Let's have more screw ups this year. So all that going on, the hashtag Oscars, you can search for that and read all about what people are saying.
Absolutely. Well, I'll look forward to that. Thanks very much, Doug. That's social media editor, Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. At least five Somali soldiers are killed in related attacks. Two dead were killed at a Michigan College shooting. The suspect is at large. One person is dead and 20 wounded in an Afghan car bombing. And Israeli police question Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A group of researchers led by Judd Bowman, an astronomer at the Arizona State University, recently made a remarkable discovery by spotting the impressions of the earliest stars in the universe. Soon after the Big Bang, 13.7 billion years ago, the universe expanded, cooled, and became very dark. Stars and other cosmological objects hadn't formed yet. The universe was filled with only neutral hydrogen gas. Then, about 400,000 years after the Big Bang, and for the following 50 to 100 million years, gravity began to force the gas to collapse and form the first stars. Using radio astronomy, the Arizona team was able to detect radio signals produced by the ancient hydrogen gas. The signals gave the researchers first evidence that the oldest members of our cosmic family were born a mere 180 million years after the universe began. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, planning continues for the Obama Presidential Center in Chicago. We'll have a report. Top-level political meetings begin in Beijing this weekend. Under consideration by China's Communist Party is a proposal that would allow President Xi Jinping to stay in office indefinitely. The move has taken many by surprise, and critics argue it could have a huge impact on the party's state image in the region and overseas. I spoke with VOA Beijing correspondent Bill Ide about the proposal.
It's not a done deal yet, the scrapping of the two-term limit, but it's pretty much a foregone conclusion because China's rubber stamp legislature, there's rarely enough opposition to overturn a motion. But they will eventually, at the end of these sessions, these meetings that start on Monday, they'll have a vote on this. So some people are curious. They've said, well, maybe maybe we could get a lot of opposition votes, and maybe there'll be a little bit of drama there. But on a whole, everyone seems to think that this is going to go through without any challenge. And then comes what's next, and why does he need this so much? Analysts have noted that the position of president is really, it's not that powerful of a position. Being the head of the party and the head of the country, the party's Central Military Commission, those are the two posts that really carry with them a lot of power. And originally people were arguing that, well, you know, Xi Jinping really doesn't need to stay on as president beyond two terms. His second term would be wrapping up in 2022. But for some reason, he felt that was necessary. State media have been arguing that the reason for this is because he has a very big agenda that he needs to accomplish, and he needs to kind of stay in power to kind of see some of these things through that he's started off, these big projects that he's launched.
What are some of those projects?
Well, we're talking about the Belt and Road project is one thing. That's this trillion-dollar infrastructure project that he's kind of spearheaded, which basically tries to link up by land from China west to through Central Asia to Europe, and then also down south through the Strait of Malacca, around through the Indian Ocean to the Middle East. And the other thing is really he, during the 19th Party Congress, he laid out a blueprint for the next 30 years. Beginning in 2020 and ending in 2050. And this is kind of broken into two 15-year projects to turn China into a great, as he calls it, a great modern socialist country.
What has the reaction been? And is there a sort of a growing sense of a Xi, almost like of a personality cult?
You know, people ask about the personality cult question a lot. I don't believe it. I don't believe it exists. I don't think it's anything like Mao Zedong. He does not enjoy the power that and that kind of influence and worship, you know, public worship that Mao Zedong had. There are people that are, you know, happy with what he's doing, that are proud of what he's doing. But this is a different era than when Mao Zedong was. You've got the internet, even though it's heavily censored here. You still have people sharing their opinions with one another online, even though they're taken down. It's, there are a lot of things that are really harder to control and keep in place. And people they've gone out. They've seen the rest of the world, you know, more so than during Mao's era. The Chinese middle class is growing. It's massive. So it's really quite different. And now the reaction online has been censored heavily from the start of, you know, when this announcement came out. Even, you know, the letter N has been censored. You cannot even post, you can't even write, send a post on China's social media site, Weibo, that says, I oppose or I disagree. You can't even put that out there. You know, typically in the past, they've taken phrases and after they've been posted, they'll pull them down. But this is even before you can kind of post things out there. So there has been this massive effort. But when we went out on the streets and talked to people this week and conversations that we've been having, it's very clear that while some people are taking a kind of wait and see attitude about this decision, that they're willing to kind of say, okay, this is really kind of worrisome, but see if he gets things done, if he really does what he's trying to say, let's give him some time to do that.
VOA Beijing correspondent Bill Ide. Well, although born in Hawaii, raised in Indonesia, and educated in New York City, former President Barack Obama has adopted the city of Chicago, his wife's birthplace, as his hometown. The South Side of Chicago, where he got his start in politics as a community organizer in the 1980s, is where he plans to build his presidential center. As VOA's Kane Faraba reports, there's growing concern about the project despite its eventual economic benefits.
Just a few kilometers from the South Side neighborhood former President Barack Obama called home, he spoke to a mostly supportive audience at McCormick Place Convention Center about his plans to give back to his adopted hometown.
Over the next 4 years, we are going to create $3 billion worth of economic activity. We're going to create 5,000 jobs just in the construction, 2,500 jobs that will be permanent and ongoing.
Current plans for the $300 million Obama Presidential Center place it at Jackson Park, right alongside Lake Michigan. The roughly 20-acre campus would include a variety of spaces for the community to use. The centerpiece will be a large tower that will house the Obama Presidential Museum.
And it's estimated we might have as many as 700,000 people just going through the museum portion of this. We are going to be able to make this a jewel, not just for the South Side, but for the entire city of Chicago.
Not everyone on the South Side of Chicago is sold on the project.
Since he was president, he has to some extent forgotten the neighborhood where he started out as a community organizer.
Professor W.J.T. Mitchell teaches at the University of Chicago, Obama's former employer. Mitchell is one of 200 faculty members who signed a letter criticizing plans for the center's proposed location at Jackson Park, not far from the university's campus.
It has to be shoehorned into a relatively small space that is already highly developed. It's not adjacent to a commercial strip.
Mitchell considers himself a friend of the Obamas, but feels they have been tone deaf in developing the presidential center. He says despite breakout sessions at public meetings, there has not been enough public input.
There's no public discussion where the community can say, we have real doubts about this aspect, and it would be really great if he would come back, spend some time talking to people face-to-face, not on jumbotrons and not in huge auditoriums, but actually meeting with small groups around the neighborhood.
The former president has tried to allay concerns.
What I want to do is to make sure everybody's represented. We're not coming in here as a for-profit organization. Like, I'm out there raising a bunch of money to get this thing built, to get the programming up and running. I'm not getting a salary out of the foundation. Michelle and my motivations are entirely to make sure that the community benefits.
Benefits that could transform Chicago's South Side, an area whose reputation is marred by rising crime and vacant buildings. It's a reputation Obama hopes his presidential center can change once construction is complete, which is currently slated for sometime in 2021. Kane Faribault, VOA News, Chicago.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Popular Academy of Country Music Award nominees have just been announced, and Nikki Strong of VOA Music is here with the details. Nikki, who has the most nods this year?
Take a guess. Chris Stapleton. Again and again and again. He has 8 nominations, including Entertainer of the Year, Male Vocalist of the Year, and Album of the Year for From a Room Volume 1. The other top nominees are Thomas Rhett, he has 6, Keith Urban and Shane McAnally have 5, and then there's Maren Morris and Miranda Lambert with 4.
Aside from Maren Morris and Miranda Lambert, how did women fare overall?
Not very well.
Ah.
I'm disappointed to say. I mean, we in the country community have had very open discussions for the past 3 years about how the country in music industry can better support women, and how they can really address ways that women have been systematically discriminated against. And it just really has seemed to have fallen on deaf ears. So case in point, there are no women in the huge Entertainer of the Year category, not even like a Carrie Underwood, no female solo artist in the Album of the Year or Single of the Year categories, unless you want to include Little Big Town, which is a group that includes 2 women. Now, Single of the Year goes to the artist and the producer and the record label. Song of the Year goes to artist, publisher, and the songwriter. For the Song of the Year category, you have Miranda Lambert's Tin Man, which interestingly is going up against Keith Urban's Female, which is a tribute song, and I don't think it's a great song, that really tries to address how women are not represented. And I just thought it was interesting. I'd rather them not nominate a man with a mediocre song that pays tribute to women's lack of representation and just include a woman with a better song. The category with the most women is Vocal Event of the Year. But three out of the five nominees are actually male artists that feature the female guest artist. Oh. So there's still a long way to go. There's still a long way to go. But they could have done much better, personally speaking.
And Reba McEntire will return as host this year.
She is. You know, we had gotten news that Dierks Bentley and Luke Bryan, who did it for 2 years, wouldn't be returning. But there was no reason as to why. But before that, it was Blake Shelton and Luke Bryan. Blake, by the way, only got one nomination. I'm just saying that. For his single, I'll Name the Dogs. Reba, by the way, has hosted the show like 14 times since the 1980s. So, and she's also up for Female Vocalist of the Year. No word yet as to whether she will be performing, but I know that she wants to. But Reba's a pro. Reba's been doing this for years, so it'll be great.
The 53rd Annual Academy of Country Music Awards will be broadcast live from Las Vegas Sunday, April 15th on CBS. You can hear more music from the nominees on Country Hits USA with Nikki Strong on VOA 1. You can also reach Nikki on Facebook and Twitter at VOA 1 The Hits. Thanks, Nikki.
You're welcome. He thought she'd be sitting home crying. She ain't going. She's had enough of feeling like dying.
And the music of Reba McEntire brings an end to our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Nigeria's democratic political process got a boost recently with help provided by the United States. U.S. Ambassador to Nigeria Stuart Symington joined more than 40 prominent Nigerian politicians and International Republican Institute, or IRI, President Daniel Twining to launch a new activity supported by the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, to help political parties adopt better governance practices and improve the quality of political discourse. Implemented for USAID by IRI and Search for Common Ground, the three-year, $5.5 million responsive political party program will help the major national political parties in Nigeria improve responsiveness to their constituents. It will also contribute to creating peaceful participation ahead of the upcoming elections. The activity promises to help parties contesting the upcoming elections to become more representative of the citizenry and improve the oversight of government programs. It also aims to increase the frequency and intensity of political party interactions with their constituents, improve communication among party officials, candidates, and office holders at all levels, and boost the participation of marginalized groups in political processes and within the parties themselves. The Responsive Political Party Program will also help spread the message of peace and nonviolence through the electoral process, determine early warning signs of electoral violence, and formulate strategies to mitigate potential violence through conflict assessment in conjunction with political parties and civil society organizations. Working with IRI on this project, our parties will be stronger and more efficient, vibrant and responsive to the yearnings of Nigerians, Deputy Senate President Ike Ikemeremadu remarked. I assure you of the cooperation of the National Assembly towards the actualization of this noble initiative. If you seek to be followed, tell the story not only of what is wrong, but what you would do right for the future, Ambassador Symington told the assembled politicians. And the greatest right you can do is to inspire your members to come together and make Nigeria better.
That was an editorial reflecting the